Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
We are here to talk about the Brentford game and then Fulham's moments of the decade. And we were just quickly talking, and I've got to say, me, Dom and Guy are delighted with the groups because there's some really good moments in there that we think really deserve to be the moments of the decade. Then we're going to be looking at the massive key clash against Leeds on the weekend. Kevin Markey from Leeds United Mad will be joining us. Then, as always, we'll be taking your listener questions. But it is tradition. We're going to be doing three-word reviews. But very, very quickly, the certain Fulhamish boys won an award this week, absolutely doing bits, Dom.
Yeah, Club Podcast of the Year, the Football Supporter Association Awards.
Love it.
Love. Yeah, it was great. It was like, yeah, because it was a third year in a row being nominated for it. And yeah, we finally won the award. Now we've just got to keep it up and hopefully win it again next year.
Well, massive congratulations definitely to all the Fulhamish team. I do say it, but I say it because it's true. The squad depth they have pushing the podcast is unbelievable. They have a great first team, as you're well aware, but they have a brilliant B team and C team. We just have to work out who's in the B team and who's in the C team.
Coots is not in the B team, is he?
No, he's in the C. Oh, he's 100%. I mean, he's pushing, maybe get a call up from D into C, but Cooper, he scored for someone on the weekend as well. He did make Soccer Saturday, so maybe he's on the A team somewhere else. But as always, you can have your say. You should get your say in, because like I said, Fulhamish winning awards now left, right and centre. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, it was Brentford. It was the last ever league fixture between Brentford and Fulham at Griffin Park. It didn't go Fulham's way. And what did the three word reviews make of it, Dom?
Well, we'll start off Twitter with Dan Winters, a proper beasting.
Oof.
Ari Odzers with promotion dreams shattering. And Fulham Traveller with that was awful. Moving across to Instagram, we had RGWT'd with exposed as average. Michael Vass with Parker's lucks out. And Mr. Man 1972's no plan B. And finally with Facebook, we had Eddie Toner with Parker out now. Daryl Brugging with dubious derby doomsday. And like you like it. This one, Charlie. Scotty Adamer with nice burgers though.
Save the best till last. That's my favourite. My other favourite ones was one that I imagine took the most time. That was awful.
Yeah.
It's accurate. Yeah. It's 100% accurate.
Okay, yeah. Guy, what was your favourite? I always ask you.
Oh.
I would like the dubious doomsday derby, was it?
Dubious derby doomsday.
Doomsday, yeah, nice.
No, the one I'm getting a beast in.
Yeah. But yeah, the burgers is
nice
very
burgers
true.
Though, yeah.
Yeah.
That should be the name of Monday's podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it was true. Well, let's get into our own review of the game. Guy, you said it was awful. Not the way, obviously, you wanted it to go. Dom almost had a feeling that was the way it was going to go. We did a preview of sorts the week before. But, Guy, awful.
Yeah. As soon as we lost the Preston game and at home in the previous weekend, we knew we were going to lose this game. Like, Dom, I'm sure you agree, like, it was...
Oh, yeah, I said that we were going to lose by more.
So much confidence.
I said we were going to lose 3-1. They're going to go 3-0 up and we'll get a consolation goal in the 92nd minute through Mitrovic. Like, I just... Going to Griffin Park, I'm never confident. But in the run of form we were in, losing, you know, the two games on the bounce against Bristol and Preston, I was like, yeah, I'm not looking forward to this. You know, last ever game at Griffin Park. We've got a terrible record against Brentford. I think we've only beaten them once in the league since we've come down. So... I wasn't going too confident going it, but it wasn't just we lost. Like, we were absolutely dire. Who scored? You know, the statistical analysis sort of website. They somehow had Alfie Mawson in their team in a week, and I was like, what game were you watching? EFL had Raya, the Brentford keeper, in their team in a week. I was like, didn't even make a save. So how does that get into team in the week? But yeah, it was just absolutely terrible.
Well, it was absolutely terrible. But Fulham still having the possession in games. I know, Dom, this has been a big thing for you, but not doing much with that possession. You know, you said the Brentford keeper in the team of the week didn't have anything to do. They're not. Not only are they not being clinical, they're not creating with the possession that they are having.
Yeah, and we're chopping and changing. Yes, we have a bit of a few injuries now. To be fair, like Arthur and Reeds, and Bobby Reeds only good enough for the bench, and same with Knockhart, who's basically injuries and out of form players is really hurting us right now, to be fair, if we are going to excuse ourselves a little bit. So, you know, it is hard to have that like impetus when, you know, the players we've got are just not fit for the system. I mean, Cabano got his first start in goodness knows how long, like, and of course he hit the post, scored at Griffin Park a few seasons ago, do you remember, in a game we also lost. But it does show that, like, Cabano is a bit of a fan favourite, but he shouldn't be starting for a team pushing for automatics, you know?
He's a great player to have on the bench to bring on.
And to be fair, we're not pushing for automatics, you know? So maybe that's about right. Yeah, I mean, like we said, very disappointing. Rodak had a decent game, but they hit the post a couple of times, missed a hatful of chances. It could have been a lot more, and it was an end to a sorry week, like a sorry 8 days. And, you know, some of the reactions from our fans was, you know, people were very angry.
I mean, Twitter on Saturday night was so funny.
Yeah, so bad that Dom tweeted hashtag miserable Fulham fans. Well, let's talk about that reaction then, Dom, because is it knee-jerk reaction? Is it warranted? I mean, even today earlier on Last Book Drive, Johnny Burrow said people wanting Scott Parker out. I don't think that's quite the case, though, is it?
There's some
I
people.
Think it is.
Really? Okay.
I think it's over 50% of Fulham fans. Oh,
wow,
actually, no,
that
I'm not sure about
me.
That.
It's probably like it's very close. It'll be
it's
like
close.
It'll be 45-65 or
is that
or,
fair, guy?
Or 55. It's very close. Like I'd give him end to the end of the season because I don't see what the point is of sacking him now and who do you get in Chris Hughton? Chris Hughton's going to play a different totally style of football to what Fulham have got. We found this problem with Ranieri last season. You get a manager like Savica Ivanovic who likes to play a certain style of football and builds his squad around a team who's going to be playing that kind of football, and then you bring in a manager who's going to play something completely opposite. The squad isn't built to play the football that manager wants to play. So, yeah, we're still in the top six, so why would...
Just, though, like...
Yeah, no, I know, I understand.
We're
only
the
like
gap between, like, six and 11.
We're only, like, we're only like two points.
But you are there, though. It's weird, this division. You've lost three on the spin, and you're still in the playoffs.
Like, I think Scott Parker won't be sacked unless it looks like it's dangerously close that we can't even get into the top six.
Yeah, that's probably right. But, sorry to jump on the back of that, but, like, saying we're in the top six is, like, it can't be an excuse because we've still got, like...
No, it isn't an excuse.
Over half the season to go.
It shows how bad the rest of the league is.
Yeah, I think I agree.
You lose three games on the bounce and you're still in the top six. It's crazy.
And, yeah, Brentford going above us was obviously, like, all the motivation they needed to go out and beat us. And the fact that it's a derby and it's their cup final.
Well, yeah, I mean, and obviously it's a team that, you know, they've leapfrogged you now. So, you know, losing to teams in and around you. You're mentioning that it's a little bit, guy, 50-50. Well, Scott Parker said he sensed nerves in the players, obviously, and that's on him. Very low on confidence. Obviously not what you need before the big challenge that is Leeds on the weekend, and we'll come to that. But maybe are the players hearing that outside noise then a little bit? You were saying anger from the fans.
Yeah, perhaps. To be fair, I think it only came about in the Brentford game. Like, the Bristol game, going back a week before, you know, we just won four in a row. We were at home. We were, you know, confident of getting a result. And even then, like, we've missed a show since then, but we should have got a result. We had that horrendous penalty decision in the last minute where we should have, you know, got a pen and made it 2-2. But then Preston was a poor performance, and then Brentford was even worse. So it's just a build-up. Like, a good point that I saw made was that if you look at the resources of Brentford compared to us, there is no way they should be competing with us. Yeah, they continually punch above their weight. And at the moment, we're punching well below. Like, and that's what it comes down to, I guess. If you look at even the squads on Saturday, like, we should be blowing out the water, but we're not. And why is that? Is it players out of form and not performing? or is it the manager? You know, and that's what we've got to answer and fast, because yes, we are still in the top six, but we know we could be 11th in two games because that's how tight it is. So it's a really important part of the season, this. It always is around Christmas, but particularly in our season where we want to challenge promotion, we really need to sort it out.
Yeah, it could be vastly different, obviously, after the weekend, after they've played Leeds, to see where Fulham are. But you're mentioning, you know, is it on the players? Is it on the manager? I know you've always said, you know, the vulnerability of the side this year will be Scott Parker, that first full year of managerial experience for him and the first full year with Fulham. Dom, where do you stand on it all?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that we've only played well probably twice, maybe three times this season. I'm thinking, obviously, the Millwall game, we haven't talked about the possession record, and we backed them 4-0. The Reading game, you could maybe argue, but they were down to 10 then for the majority of that game. And then Derby at home, maybe. Apart from that, have we played well in other games? No. Look at the Swansea win. We weren't very good in that game. I don't know how we were 2-0 up going into half-time. Because if any team deserved to be going up in that, it was definitely Swansea. The Birmingham game, I wouldn't say we were lucky, but, you know, it wasn't exactly a dominant performance. You know, we Luton, yes, we're 3-2, and it was probably a bit more dominant performance than that, but it still wasn't, you know, this team's a team's going to challenge for the top two. You know, you're looking at West Brom, they've only lost once all season, and we've lost three of our last three games. I think that shows you the difference in class. And is our squad any worse than Leeds or West Brom's? Probably not that much, but they're, what, 10, 11, 15 points away from us now.
Exactly, and especially the Swansea's a great example, because the following week, West Brom battered Swansea, like 5-1, 5-0, didn't they? And that shows the difference between... Swansea were clearly on a downward curve when we played them, and we just scraped past them. And a week later, one of our challengers, or former challengers for automatic promotion, sweeps them aside. And, you know, we're on a proper downward curve now. It's really disheartening.
How bad is that downward curve? Is it a blip? Is it the Championship as we know? Or is this, you know, the warning signs were there, Guy?
Well, as I'm saying, we haven't actually performed that well that many times this season. So I guess you could say the warning signs were there. You know, we had a lot of possession that was described as toothless. But I guess one of the positives we might look towards is that I think this is still our best ever start to a Championship season.
Really? What, statistically?
I think it is, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, think about it. When we gain promotion, I think we're probably like 12th at this time. So, I mean, yes.
Bodes well.
There is one, and you know, you can always say we're a second half of the season team. I think that's what Coops always bangs on about.
Well, but Mitrovic said this as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
but
you need to start, actually. You know, you need to actually, you know, decide when the second half season is, though, and actually kick on. You know,
I think you know, you can look at the Sunderland game in the season we went up, and there were points in that season where some fans were questioning whether Slavisa Jokanović was the right man. And then he did end up getting. So I'm not saying Scott Parker's necessarily going to go on and do that, but yeah, do we? All, yes, we sometimes usually do have second half season, but I think this season is different to a lot of them. And
it's such a big ask to go on a 23-match unbeaten run. Like, you can't rely on yourselves to do that. There is so much luck involved in that. And yes, there's good performances, but you can't say, oh, it's fine, we'll just go half season unbeaten again. No, you won't. It's ludicrous.
It is ludicrous. Maybe
although if on that unbeaten run, our first. Win on that was the game before Christmas.
Oh, another little warning sign, an omen of sorts. Quite an interesting one. Can Fulham go on that run? Can they kickstart in that second half of the season as they normally do? You can have your say. Tweet us at Lovesport or call us 0208 70 2558, because next we are doing Fulham moments of the decade, and Guy can't wait to list them.
Giving your team the coverage they deserve. Lovesport Radio.
We were just reviewing the Brentford game, but we glossed over it as quickly as possible because Guy said it was awful. We don't need to speak about it any further. We will be looking towards the league game, Leeds game. Kevin Markey from Leeds United Mad will be joining us, and you are so important to us. The listener questions will be coming up in just a little bit. But we want you also to get part in something else now, because it is Fulham's moments of the decade. So many groups, so many moments, and honestly, the ones we've picked are absolute beauties, aren't they, Guy? some of them
yeah.
Dom, what do you make of them, if you can actually reel them off for us?
Well, Fulham Twitter released, was it 8 groups? So should we just go through them all? Start of group A, you had Fulham 4, Juventus 1, Sessegnon's hat-trick away at Sheffield United, Baird's screamers at Stoke and when we broke possession record. I mean,
ludicrous.
The fact that anyone even voted for us breaking a possession record as moment of the decade.
Yeah, what are the current scores in that group?
So the winner of that group was obviously Fulham 4, Juventus 1. What I don't...
It wasn't possession record.
No, what I don't understand here is that people literally clicked...
And there is much.
...the possession record button and thought, yeah, that was amazing. Like, no. Like, I mean, Sesame on Hatchet was great, but, yeah, nothing's going to beat the... beating Juventus 4-1. I mean, especially as you know,
that's going to win the whole thing.
Yeah,
though,
I was just about to say, I mean, it's maybe that's why they put that in there, because the 4-1 against Juventus is surely a walk away.
It's for me, yeah, for the entire thing, it's probably going to be between that, Hamburg, and maybe winning at Wembley.
Yeah, you think so, but like you said, the possession records. If I had to write a list of 50 moments of the decade, it wouldn't get in there. And 50 is a lot. Like, if everyone has come up with, I can't even think of a Fulham fan who would say that a possession record is one of the top moments of the decade.
I had to look into when we did it. I was like, well, when was this?
What decade?
Yeah, what record?
Was it against Millwall this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Guy's chosen to forget it
already. Fulham 4-0. Moment of a decade.
So my vote for a possession record didn't count for much.
Yeah, it didn't count for much.
Okay. Group B.
Clint Dempsey becoming our top goal scorer in the Premier League. The 4-0 cup win over Spurs. When we scored playoffs at Huddersfield and Sessegnon becoming Fulham's youngest ever scorer. And on Twitter, the winner was Sessegnon becoming Fulham's youngest ever scorer.
Close group, this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an interesting one.
I went for the 4-0 cup win over Spurs. Just because it was just... We battered them in that first half.
Yeah.
Battered them.
Like, Moussa Dembélé just completely ran the game from the centre of the park. And yeah, I mean, that is... I think that first half is arguably one of the best Fulham performances we've seen in the decade.
No, the possession record is a better performance overall in Group A.
I forget who was manager of Spurs at the time. It might have been Sherwood. So that probably takes a tin off it, doesn't it? Makes it less good. But yeah, that Dembélé goal right on half-time to make it 4-0. That's one of the games that made them sign him from us. That was a great performance. But Sess Younger scorer against Cardiff is still pretty special. It's definitely...
Is that how you voted, Guy?
No, I voted for the Spurs game.
How close was it?
It won with 33% of the vote. Second one was Clint, top scorer, 25%.
That's outrageous.
All right. Podicast Hearts fans on Twitter didn't go to games when we beating Spurs 4-0, so they're voting for something more recency bias. But yeah, I think that first half I've not really seen us play much better in the decade at all. Moving over to Group C was when we, you know, 23-23 undefeated. Our first ever win at Anfield. I mean, it was an own goal, so does it really count as a moment of the decade? Fulham 6, QPR 0, and then Newcastle away 16-17.
Ooh, and you both voted for?
I voted Newcastle away.
I voted Newcastle away.
So good. A 16-year-old shushing 50,000 Geordies. Like, I mean, you can't really beat it.
Yeah.
Shushing.
He did.
That was unbelievable.
He was 16.
Shushing 50,000 Geordies. That should just have his own category. It should be his own nomination. So, and who won Group C?
I think it was a 23-23 undefeated.
Yeah, it was.
Which is great.
So just but quickly, just the three groups, just before, I mean,
convincingly won 73% of the vote.
I was going to say, what you two vote for doesn't seem to win much.
Yeah, our vote doesn't seem to be that helpful.
Very yet. Fulhamish.
Mm, yeah. Very insignificant. Okay.
Very meta.
Yeah, I just went Newcastle away because when that third goal went in, everyone was like, what is happening here? I think, and also one thing people always forget is that we got a penalty in the last minute and Tim Ream took it.
Oh, I know. I can't believe it.
It was, Sessegnon could have got a hat trick away at Newcastle.
16. It would have been, I think, would have been the youngest ever in the Football League. Yeah. It would have been younger than Dele Alli when he did it, when FMK Dons.
No, Tim Ream decided to take the penalty.
That was
when
we missed like 9 penalties that season. It was horrendous.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a moment.
And then Group D, we had Fulham beating Hamburg 2-1 to secure a place in our first ever European final. Mitrovic signing, Bournemouth
on loan. No, specify on loan.
On loan, not even permanently.
the loan signing of Mitrovic.
Bournemouth away, an away game we won when we were already relegated. Okay, and then Roy Hodgson winning manager
this
of the year.
This is a bizarre group.
In 09-10.
This is a ridiculous group. Who has put this together? The game to get you to the Europa League final, or signing a player on loan, a game winning away when you've been relegated, Roy wins manager of the year. I mean, this is, we're talking runners and non-runners.
Yeah. Obviously Hamburg won, but like...
No.
You think?
It was close though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was 56%, so not as convincing as some other groups. Yeah.
The fact that people hit Bournemouth away makes me really
How many were for Bournemouth away, please? Because that can't be. Not if you're... full, and
7%.
You've got, which is a what? How many of those people?
Oh, how many votes it got?
Yeah, if we're saying, can we quickly work that out? If 7%, how many were votes?
What was the total votes of the?
I've gone past it now.
Oh, well, you 7% out there, call up. Why? Why?
That's at least like 30 votes, probably.
Oh god!
Out of 2,400 votes.
Oh god, it's more. Out of 2,400, so 10% is 240 votes, 120. So we're talking about
150, 180.
Yeah,
that's
voted for Bournemouth away.
We were relegated.
This is unbelievable.
To be fair...
No, like, guy. No, what do you mean? Where are you going with this defence?
Well, I'll tell you where I'm going with this. In the Fulham-Juventus group, I knew that I was going to win, so I voted for...
Are you one of the 150?
Tactical voting or not?
Are you one of the 150?
Not in that particular group, but in the Juventus group, I voted for Baird Screamers at Stoke, because I knew that it wasn't going to win. So I just thought, you know... Give it a little
bit. Put some respect on its name.
Yeah, I don't like people that do that voting. No. Put some respect on the real
next
winners
group,
of the group.
Next group.
All right, Group E.
Group E, we had obviously a Doyle's header against Derby to send us to Wembley for the first time since 1975. That 3-3 draw at Arsenal where, you know, we went 3-1 the league, got about a 3-3, then obviously Arsenal missed a penalty in the last minute.
A horrible choice coming up here.
The FA Youth Cup final.
First leg.
Like, who's thinking about this? And then Pavel Podgremniak scoring 5 goals in his first 3 games.
It's got to be the first leg. When, as a Fulhamish team, as a squad, as the award winners you are, why don't you all get together to decide these groups?
Oh no, this is the club who did these.
It's the club.
This is the club.
Yeah,
the club. What, the club have come up with these Fulham moments of the decade?
Yeah.
The club. No.
Yeah.
This isn't Fulhamish.
No, this is the.
I'm
Fulham,
stunned.
This is the official Fulham account.
I can't believe.
So
this.
You're going to go and vote for the FAU final? Unfortunately, you couldn't. But you know, if you had a chance, would you have obviously gone for it?
Yeah, 100%. So who won this one?
Only got 3% of the vote, the FA.
Surely there's people having a laugh there. Surely.
Tactical voting once again from Guy Barlow. Guy, who won this one?
Most convincing group winner, I think. Obviously, my boy, Denny Adoy.
There you go. Adoy versus
Derby. Just for Pavel Podgremniak.
Yeah, unbelievable. Group F and some really strong contenders. In group. Honestly, I looked at the groups and I thought, whoa, that group F, fiery, juicy.
The Riverside Stand extension being announced. What? Who making this? Moment of the decade, that could be. Potential.
Can we get them on the show? Whoever's done this. The Riverside Stand extension.
Kasami's wonder goal against Palace. Session and winning player of the year. And when Fulham went top of the Premier League after winning the our opening game 6-0 against...
5-0.
Was it 5-0?
Against
it
Norwich.
Against so Norwich, yeah.
You've got a round table. We go, let's do a poll. What was our best moments of the decade? Oh, have you just seen that website? Oh, they've just announced we're getting the extension on the stand. Unbelievable. It's what I'm living for. Oh,
yeah. I voted Fulham going top of the Prem.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember that was a really nice day that day. Really hot. Beginning of August.
Tom got all serious. It was a really nice day.
Petrich hat trick, I believe, on debut.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Fulham top of the Premier League, I mean. What?
Yeah, but Kasami's goal should win goal of the decade. That
goal, unbelievable.
And it lost to some rubbish Arsenal goal.
It was like Jack Wilshere. Just tippy-tappy passing it about.
Some fluky little Giroud flick.
Two good goals, though. But that goal, Guy, honestly, was incredible.
It was on his weak foot.
So, Riverside stand in for that one.
Yeah, Riverside stand. Yeah.
Obviously. 10% of the vote.
10%? 10%? Who are these people? What?
So 200 people have voted for this?
180, but yeah.
180 people.
This is the same 180 with the Bournemouth people. I think these are just... They're getting us at it. Who did win?
Kasami won a goal, 47%. Close.
Cesswin
player of the season, player of the year.
Okay, Group G.
Tom Kearney signing.
This group is horrible.
When Shay Khan bought Fulham, Huddersfield away 14-15, the biggest housery away I think I've ever been to. How Fulham, you know, were down to 10 men. The referee sent off the wrong player to start with. They Naki Wells missed two penalties for Huddersfield, and then we go up and then in the last minute. And it's not even that we score in the last minute. It's Fofana misses the first shot.
Yeah,
he hits the post and then hammers in the rebound. Yeah, that, and then also Villa away in 13-14, which I stand by as one of the most overrated away days in recent memory. Tom Cairney signing.
Recency bias.
Tom Cairney signing as one.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, it's a joke. Game's okay, gone. The game's fully
it's
gone.
It's a joke. Okay, group H.
Winning at Wembley. Adoy's showboating debut.
Ridiculous.
Zamora with his... Zamora with his winner against Arsenal in 11-12 and the 81 crosses at Old Trafford.
Got to be the showboating. Got to be.
It's not show. He just flicks it off his back.
It's ridiculous. It was the first game of the season. He did some unnecessary little thing off his back. Whenever Paul Dummett...
What are you saying? That's not your moment of the decade.
Oh, actually, yeah, when you put it like that. That is my best moment of the last 10 years.
Yeah, what? You don't live to see that. That's not the best thing that's happened to you in 10 years as a Fulham fan.
That is incredible.
Okay, the Wembley win, the showboating debut, Zamora versus Arsenal, 81 crosses at Old Trafford, and who took it?
81, I'm joking. Wembley win, 89% of the vote.
89% of the vote. Okay, so now we narrow it down, Dom. What is the next stage?
Well, the club will... compile the new groups of the winners.
What I don't understand, right? We've done Adoy showboating debut, Cairney signing, Khan buying Fulham, the Riverside stand, FA Youth Cup final, like, and they have yet, then he didn't put in us scoring in a European final.
Very, very
equalising
strange.
In a European. Like, I would put Simon Davis's goal as the moment of the decade.
Really?
Yeah. A moment that then is not in the 40 you have there.
Yeah, I know, it's a joke. We scored in a European final. No, FA Youth Cup final is more important to us.
So your moment of the decade is not in there, and that was your moment, the Simon
Davis
goal.
Yeah, Simon Davis in Hamburg in the final.
Guy, is your moment of the decade in one of these groups?
Yes, it's either been eliminated, and it was Adoy's showboating.
I did try to vote for you.
No, I would say it's in there. We touched on Newcastle away, but yeah, no. I mean, obviously, moment of the decade is Juventus.
Yeah,
it's no question.
Yeah, I think we all know that's going to win there. But I understand what Dom's saying about
the
that
Riverside
goal.
Riverside stand. Tom Cairney signing when we would.
I can't wait
relegated.
For the next decade of votes when the River Stand is completed.
Oh, yes.
That's just got my vote.
That's going to sweep the boards.
Oh, 100%. They're just teasing you for it. Well, we are teasing you as well because it's Leeds on the weekend. Kevin Markey from Leeds United Mad joins us next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
I'm talking about that game at Griffin Park, the disappointing defeat to Brentford, who do have Fulham's number, it seems, in a minute. But now, though, it's a bigger game. It's a bigger test. It is Leeds on the weekend. Delighted to say Kevin Markey from Leeds United Mad joins us now. Kevin, what have you made of Leeds United's season so far?
Before I say that, I must admit, I think my moment of the decade for Fulham is when you beat Juventus. That was a glorious evening.
Absolutely, beating Kevin. Juventus. We couldn't agree more. That was our standout. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That was brilliant. I mean, even I was backing you guys that night. I thought, what a performance. You know, it was up there, one of the best sort of British performances over the last few years. You know, being a team like that so comprehensively, it's just brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Does that mean, Kevin, that you sort of weren't jumping for joy when the Riverside stand extension was announced?
Maybe not quite as excited about that, no, I must admit.
Fair play. So, Kevin, how's Leeds United season going so far?
Well, very similar to last season. Things are going along nicely, like they were last season. We're probably a couple of points better off than what we were this time last season. But, as you know, it doesn't make any difference when it comes to the new year when all the games come thick and fast. But at this moment in time, I think, yeah, I'm very pleased. 7 wins on the trot to Cardiff. 7 wins out of 10 in the last sort of 10 games. I think Cardiff was a bit of a wake-up call, really, to say, you know, I think things have been a bit too easy for us recently. But we haven't been playing that well, to be fair, in the last few games. We've been picking up victories. And I think when we were 3-0 up on Saturday, we were thinking, yeah, it's going to be 4-5, it's going to be quite easy, but Cardiff get a goal back. nerves start getting into the defence, and before you know it, it's 3-3, and I think it's probably the big kick that we need now to get on with the Christmas period of games that are coming up.
What do you think's changed at Leeds this season compared to the recent seasons where you've been obviously, you know, aiming for promotion? Is there something that Bielsa's done over the summer to change the how Leeds are playing?
Yeah, I mean, up to last season, our seasons have been pretty abject, really. Finishing 13th, 14th, 15th in the league, 15 seasons out of the Premier League. It's been pretty despondent, really, to be fair. But since Bielsa came in, he's sort of transformed the club from top to bottom. He's made ordinary players into good players into brilliant players. I think his work ethic is absolutely amazing. And he just loves his squad, you know. He gets the best out of them. And I think with him having the second season with us now, I think the players have learned a lot more now from last season, know what to, you know, to expect from the coach and what to do. I think the second season syndrome under Bielsa, I think it's a lot better for the players than it was last season, because they obviously know what he's all about now and what he expects. And hopefully we've all learned from last season that the season doesn't end until it ends. And I think we got a bit complacent towards last season a little bit, I think, and took our foot off the, you know, off the performances a little bit. And hopefully we won't make the same mistakes again, and we've learned from what we did last season.
You mentioned that you know, you went on that seven game winning run, which is, like, obviously very impressive. But most of the teams you beat in that run are bottom half of the table. So, like, obviously you got us next on Saturday, and then you've got West Brom away in a few games' time. Obviously, those are the games you're going to measure yourself against.
Exactly.
What do you make of Fulham so far? Obviously, we're in a bit of a downwards kind of run.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fulham have got a great squad, and they're just not performing at the moment. I was a bit surprised that you didn't get Michael Hector over the line a bit quicker than what you did, because for me, he was the best central defender in the Championship last season at Sheffield Wednesday. I would have loved him to come to Leeds. I don't know what happened there with the paperwork, but obviously he can't play for you until January, but I think he'll make a massive difference to the defence when he does come into the team. Personally, I'm quite happy with Ben White. I think he's been amazing for us since he came from Brighton. He's one of the best centre-backs in the league, I think. But I think for you, Michael Hector will make a massive difference to that back four when he comes into the team. And if he can get a few results after Saturday, up to the new year, then I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because our defence isn't actually that leaky, I would say. It's more of a mentality thing throughout the whole team. Yeah. We're just, like, a bit toothless in possession and not really kicking on yet. Who's been a stand-up performer for Leeds this season?
Well, I said Ben White before. He's one of our better defenders. Obviously, Phillips is continuing where he left off last season, controlling the whole of the midfield and the back four. Bamford's knocking the goals in despite his critics. He's getting goals for us. I think as a team, we are playing maybe better than we did last season, because we all know they all know each other a lot better now and know what's expected. But if I had to pick a standout player, I suppose it would have to be Ben White, because he replaced, if you like, Pontus Janssen, who was a bit of a cult hero at Leeds, really. It was a big surprise that he left during the summer. So to actually replace him and do an even better job than what he did for us, really, last season, I think it's been amazing. He's a really young lad as well, and there's a lot of Premier League clubs looking at him at the moment. So for me, yeah, Ben White is the outstanding player so far this season.
Obviously, going into Saturday, and, you know, if Leeds were to lose and Fulham were to come out victorious, would you think Leeds fans would start to get worried that it could be a sense of deja vu again, or do you think they'll see it as just a two-game blip and they'll still be a big enough gap between them over the teams below them?
Well, that's the thing, you see. There's a nice little gap between us and third, a 10-point sort of gap, but obviously that doesn't mean anything in the long term. But for the short term, you can afford maybe a couple of tricky performances, and obviously you can put down Cardiff as one of those performances. I think, like, if you look at the Twitter feed on Saturday evening, if you've lost the game, you probably think we're in the bottom three, really, because your reaction to defeat by Leeds fans is really over the top. But I suppose it is at most clubs, so people do panic a little bit. And after what happened last season, any defeat will be sort of treated in the same way, because people will say, oh, we thought we're losing it at Christmas now, going towards New Year, things aren't going our way. But to lose to a team like Fulham, I don't think will be a massive disgrace or upset. But obviously, it would be nice to get a win and extend that gap even more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Leeds is one of those clubs where it's like such a bubble. It's like, I imagine it's quite similar to what Liverpool are going through this year, in their fans just trying to stay calm, but about what's going on. What's it actually like being inside that bubble, though? Like, are you having to not, like, stop yourself getting overexcited?
It's a bit hard, really. Even when we were sort of a mediocre sort of team, you sort of go down to one road expecting to brush over most teams that you play, because that's the mentality of the, you know, the team and the fans, really. We expect to beat teams, even though we haven't got a fantastic team sometimes. But I think you can say for the moment, we've got one of the best coaches in the world, top coach in Leeds United, which is unbelievable to begin with. And the way he's got us playing, I mean, don't get me wrong, Saturday was a disappointment, but for the first 60 minutes, the football that was played was absolutely unbelievable. It was fantastic, playing from the back to the front. You know, it was just glorious to watch, and it's not something that we're used to at Elland Road over the last few years. So we are playing some decent football, and hopefully that will carry us through now towards the Christmas period and towards 2020, towards promotion. I mean, we like to break records, don't we, at Leeds? You know, you're in the top two at Christmas, you're guaranteed to get promotion, but obviously that fell foul last season. And we're just hoping that it'll be true this season, because we're in the same sort of position as we were last year.
Yeah, obviously, would it be just absolutely just craziness in going in Leeds if you did secure automatic promotion? Would it just be absolute chaos in the city?
Oh, it'll be absolutely mental, yeah, because I just can't imagine what the scenes will be like, really. I've got a young son who's never watched Leeds United on Match of the Day or anything. He doesn't know what it's like. If you're not on Match of the Day these days, you don't really exist to a young lad. So I can imagine if you do get promoted, the scenes around Leeds and, you know, the surrounding areas are just going to be absolutely amazing. It's something that Leeds fans can't really think about at the moment. Because what happened last season, the playoffs against Derby, you know, it's just something you don't want to believe until it actually happens. And, you know, obviously we're just gritting our teeth a little bit now, hoping we can get through this season without the same problems as last season.
You mentioned Ben White earlier. Do you think the battle between him and Mitrovic is going to be where this game sort of won and lost on the weekend?
Yeah, for me, Mitrovic is one of the best strikers in the league. He's absolutely amazing. And, you know, I'm sure Fulham fans are pleased that he stayed on for another season. Yeah, I think him and White are going to be a big contest on Saturday. Thankfully, it sounds like Liam Cooper's going to be back as well. He's our captain and one of our obviously better centre-halves as well. So hopefully between them, they can maybe control his threat a little bit. But it's easier said than done because, like I say, he's one of the top strikers, not even in the Championship, but in England at the moment. And if we keep him quiet, I think we've got a good chance of getting a decent result.
Well, talking of decent results, Kevin, I want to know, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Never like to predict a score when it involves Leeds. And obviously,
well, that's the end of that then.
I never predict a defeat either, so I've got to say, I'd be quite happy with a draw, but if we can sneak a 2-1 victory, obviously I'd be delighted. But I think it's going to be tough because Scott Parker's got to get a decent result as well. And if he turns things around and beats us, then obviously the season starts again for Fulham. So I think it's going to be a very tight affair, but I'll probably go for a draw, actually.
Oh, you decided to sit on the fence there, Kevin. We really appreciate you coming on, giving us time. Really good to chat to you. Kevin Markey there from Leeds United Mad. Make sure you check them out for all the Leeds United stuff. It is a massive game on the weekend. I turn my attentions to Dom and Guy in the studio. The last preview of the game this year before Christmas, and it is the big one. It is Leeds. Dom, what do you make of it?
I'm not looking forward to it. Like, you know, they're, what, 10 points clear of us, or even more, because obviously
miserable
we lost to Brentford.
Miserable Fulham fans.
Yeah, I know, I'm one of them. Like, the only way I can be positive, I think we might be able to get a draw. Like, I can't see us winning this game. I really can't.
I agree, yeah, no. We're going to lose, definitely, without a doubt.
Oh, well, that's... yeah. Maybe Christmas.
Yeah, no, I'm try and be positive, I can say maybe we'll grab a 2-2 draw. I just, the way we're playing at the moment, we don't look like... We're playing within ourselves. We don't look like there's any sort of identity to the way we're playing. It's sort of possession for possession shake with no sort of purpose to it. So, yeah, I'll be try to be positive. I'll say 2-2, but I could very easily see, you know, Fulham's, what, fourth defeat in a row coming along.
Guy, you go along with that?
Yeah, and I'd be even more pessimistic and say if we do draw, we're not going to score twice. Because we actually haven't scored, you know, only scored a couple in our last three games. Like what Don was saying about possession. If we do draw, it'll be a low-scoring draw, I think. I'm not hopeful. And I hate being this pessimistic, but they're a good side, and we're not at the moment.
Well, Guy, he's maybe not being pessimistic. He's trying to be realistic. It's not good for Fulham in the minute. We know Leeds are very, very strong. Dom and Guy are worrying about the game on the weekend, but what do you make of it? We're going to hear from you, because next we are taking your listener questions.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. We were just talking to Kevin Markey from Leeds United Mad. He was confident of a victory. Dom and Guy were not. But what do you think? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. We were talking about our moments of the decade. Maybe this can be one, a result on the weekend, or maybe another stand will get extended. We just don't know at this point in the day. Well, now, though, it is your listener questions. We're going to get into them. Thank you so much for interacting with us, not just this show, but obviously this year as well. I know the Fulhamish team appreciate that. The first question from Alistair, who is better, Taggart or Brian?
Taggart, yeah. You mean
Target, sorry.
Yeah. Taggart.
Do you research, speak. Mate. Taggart.
Sorry.
Come on.
Taggart.
Sorry, can we put that in the moment of the decade, maybe? Can that make it Group F?
It's easily Matt Taggart. I don't actually think Joe Bryan's that good. I think he's not given enough stick as he should do. Like, there's a reason nearly every goal we can see comes down his side.
Well, yeah, and I can answer this very simply as well. Matt Taggart made it in my team of the decade. So, that tells you what I think of Matt
Taggart. We didn't really have too many left-backs to choose
yeah,
from here.
Exactly.
We had, like, him or Paul Konchesky. Like...
Put some respect...
Guy's gone to
Kostas Stavridis.
Carlos Salcedo. Some legends. But no, it has
Jimmy
to be,
Husband.
It has to be Matt Taggart for me. I don't actually rate Joe Bryan that highly, and I think the only reason why he's still in the team is because there's no one else to play left back.
Ooh, okay. Well, yeah. Strong words.
Yeah, but it's Taggart is the answer.
Okay, Taggart is the answer.
Taggart.
I can't believe I read that and I know the player. That's absolutely ridiculous. The next question from Fred said, what made you start the podcast? Which is interesting because this week you won an award going from strength to strength. So where was the start? Where was that beginning?
So it was, I think it's the fourth season. It's now the fourth season we've been doing the podcast. The first ever episode was after we lost to Birmingham at home, I think just before the September.
5-2.
Yeah, I think it was just
classic place to start.
I think it was just before the
Why
game.
Is that not in a decade? Moments of the decade.
Kit got the sack of that game. No, Bristol City 4-1 away. That should have been in the moments of the decade. That's, yeah. That's better than some of these.
Yeah, but the new stand, mate.
The
new stand. And we thought, you know, there was a gap. We thought there was a gap in the market for a Fulham podcast. So me, Sammy, Jack, Ben, and Farrell were the starting members of the podcast, and then it sort of grew from there. It's grown from, you know, three or four blokes talking about Fulham to a team of now probably 15, 20
blokes talking
about. Yeah. No, it's now just not, it's not only a podcast now, it's a podcast, it's the website which has the articles, you know, it's a social media presence within Fulham.
Radio show.
Yeah, within Fulham on social media. Got a national radio show.
Absolutely.
You know, what it's grown to is absolutely outstanding. I don't think we were expecting it to blow up like this.
And it's absolutely like the culmination of that, as you said, was the awards on Monday night. You know, a very prestigious award, really. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
And the competition we come up against and then beat, the company we were keeping at the awards, like, I mean, all the best in the business in terms of podcast and radio were there. And Fulhamish were there getting an award. It really is an incredible achievement.
Well, you are the best of the business. It was absolutely well deserved. The next questions come from Harry. It says, what is the chant of the season so far?
We haven't really had many new ones this season,
no.
Have we? I mean, there's one chant about the size of Kevin McDonald's private parts, but I mean,
9:52. We could have done
that. That was that thing is that was never supposed to leave a bar in pre-season in Portugal, and then it sort of ended up being started at home game. We're like, oh no, what have we done here? Yeah, I don't know. Probably Kevin McDonald won. It's the only new chant that's really caught on to some form of new tune. I mean, the Ivan Caviero one is just a rehash. You know, Fulham we're really eco-friendly, really good at recycling chants. So yeah, the Ivan Caviero one is just obviously another recycled one. People literally are just doing the Ryan Sessegnon song for Steven Sessegnon.
I do like the return of, you know, the resurgence of AK has meant that. Well, taking us to Wembley, eh? Yeah. Rui Font from Braga. Any mention of Rui Font is going to, you know, make me happy.
Yeah, it does make Guy happy. The next question comes from Jay Paris saying, Seri in the Championship.
Is this still this rumour that he's going to come back to us?
Yeah, the questions put to the team.
We could do worse. and
could
we
do
are,
better.
We are struggling with injuries at the moment. I don't think he'll come back, though. So
It's an interesting one. I don't know if we've seen the best of him. There is still potentially more to give, or no?
I'm done with him.
Okay then.
Wash my hands of him.
Right.
I'm not done with him.
There's life.
Yeah.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. Next question from Joe Kent. What impact will Hector have?
Hopefully a good one.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's going to have a negative effect. Our defence is pretty carsy at the moment. But I think that. Hopefully he has a positive, but then he hasn't really played proper football in 6 months, so how fit is he going to be? Yes, I understand he can play in some youth team games, 1-23 games, I believe, but how fit is he going to be? That's my biggest worry with Mark Hector. But we spoke to obviously Kevin Markey from Leeds, and he seems to think he was the best defender in the Championship last season, so hopefully it'll improve our offence. It'll be interesting to see who he replaces.
Yeah, I agree, but as I was saying as well, like, we're not actually shipping loads of goals. I mean, we should have shipped loads of goals at Brentford, but through Post and Rodak, we didn't. But we're not getting battered. We, you know, of the last three games we've lost in a row, we've lost by one goal. So, like I said, I think it's more of a what he can bring mentally and in terms of leadership than what he can bring defensively at the moment. Obviously, his defensive skills will come into play. But at the moment, we need just a bit of fresh air, you know, and someone to say, come on, lads, you know, we're a good team here. We need to be doing better.
Okay, I think we can fit one more in. This one comes from SJ Baldwin. Should we think about long-term signings in January or stick with short-term deals?
I think we're at a stage where it's just promotion is what we need. So you'd look at the short-term being the answer, then you can look. We can learn from our mistakes if we were to get promoted from the last transfer window when we're in the Premier League and build long-term solutions from there. But yeah, I think January transfer window is never really a time where teams look at long-term options. I think it's always a window where you're looking for a quick fix. It's just going to help you out in that current season.
And yeah, no, I agree. And if you look at the last transfer window in the Championship, as Don mentioned, we brought in Mitrovic, who's obviously listed as one of the moments of the decade, actually. But jokes aside, it was very important. And maybe just a reminder that did happen on the last day, and we do need to stay patient. I know Tom doesn't like Tony Khan. Tom doesn't like...
Do your research, Guy. Come on, you're on the show.
I nearly swapped it around. Tony Khan. we need to stay patient, and then hopefully we'll get the business done we need and kick on.
Well, need to stay patient. Well, this has been the Fulham Fan Show. We come to an end. We won't be back now till the 8th of January, obviously Christmas and New Year's. The national radio show that is Fulham will be back on the 8th. But Dom, a message to the Fulhamish listeners?
Yeah. Merry Christmas and thanks for all voting for us as best podcast of the year.
Oh, Guy.
Echo what Dom says, really. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Perfect. Merry Christmas to all the Fulhamish fans and the Fulham fans and the ones for sending us your questions and your free word reviews. We will see you on the 8th. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a few more of those Fulham wins.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.